All right, we are continuing our series called Giants this morning. And what I want to remind you is that it doesn't matter what life stage you're in, that we all face giants. It doesn't matter if you're a grandma, it doesn't matter if you're a dad, it doesn't matter if you're a kid or a student. Everyone has giants in their lives. And those giants come in all sorts of different forms and shapes. It doesn't matter, though. And so while we're studying giants, what we're going to be doing is looking in depth at 1 Samuel chapter 17. And here's what I want you to keep in mind, the thing that we've been asking you to keep in mind this whole time, is that when David is fighting the giant, it's not David that defeats the giant. It's Jesus that defeats the giant. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the giant of addiction. Now, I know some of you, as soon as I said that word, you checked out. You said, oh, this one's not for me. That this is not a problem that I have because there's the big three. There's drugs, there's alcohol, and there's sex or pornography. And if I don't have one of those, then I'm not addicted. And here's what I want to tell you is that addiction goes so much past those big three. There's so many more addictions. And so what I want to do is I want to be completely transparent with you. And that this giant is one that I face. It's one that is in my life. And to be completely honest with you, I struggle with the addiction for the need of affirmation and approval. I do. If I don't have that, if I don't have people in my life telling me, Justin, you did a good job. Hey, that was really good. Like, if you guys tell me today after I'm done, like, oh, that was not so good. Like, that is going to crush me, okay? But that's my addiction, is that I need that. And so please don't give in to my addiction. I can use the constructive feedback. But that's my addiction. That's something that I have, and if I don't have it, the floor just drops right out from underneath me. A silly addiction that I have, and you guys are going to start judging me really soon, but I have the addiction. I found out the power went out at our house one time, and I realized that I am addicted to Wi-Fi. Like, I need that so bad, and it's how we watch our TV. It's how I read all my books. It's how I read my Bible. And if I don't have that, I have a problem. And so I had to get to the point where I realized, wait a minute, Justin, you have paper Bibles too. You can go read those. You have kids, so when the power goes out, don't worry about everything else that's there. Go spend time with your kids. But I realized that that's an addiction in my life. The next one, some of you are going to think this is ridiculous. I am addicted to food. And some of you have known that I've struggled with that for a while. And that is a very... See, the addiction of food is the only giant that will make you giant. And so... But that is an addiction that I face. That's something that comes back into my life, and it doesn't matter what kind of food it is. It could be barbecue, it could be pizza, it could be Mountain Dew, it could be whatever. Mexican food? Oh my goodness. But like that list will just keep going on and on and on and on. See, here's what the problem, though, with me, is when a normal person eats, right, you get to a point, you feel your stomach, and you say, I'm full, so I'm going to stop. But with me, I say, I'm full. But you know what? Like, that was really good. So I can get like a couple more bites in. I can fit this much more in. That was so good that I should try and get this in. See, it's an addiction. And so Louis Giglio, in his book, Goliath Must Fall, here's what he says about addictions. He says, an addiction is anything we can't live without. We're enslaved to this thing. It's a habit we can't break. It's a person we can't separate from. A pattern we can't change. And it's ultimately harmful. See, I told you about my addictions, but let's talk about some more addictions. See, some of you in this room, you are addicted to work. And you might not even like your job, but you are addicted to work. And so you spend extra hours at work, maybe even hours that you're not getting paid for. And you are just showing up more and more and more. And then what you do is you take your work home with you. And so instead of putting your focus back on home or actually resting, you're working. And you're addicted to your work. Some of you, it's about the results of your work, right? And we're addicted to money. And so we will do whatever we can to build up our bank accounts. And there's an addiction there. Others, it's not about the money, but it's about the success that comes with work. And so anything that I can do to get credit, anything I can do to get people to recognize who I am or know my name, I will do anything I possibly can to make that happen. Then there's other addictions. I'm sorry. There's addictions to coffee, right? To caffeine. There's addictions to adrenaline. That's why they call them adrenaline junkies. There's addictions to shopping. There's addictions. Check this out. This is one that I love. So some of you are addicted to negativity. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter if things are going great in your life. You will put that spin on it to make it sound like everything around you is horrible. Like the situation that you're in is horrible. That I don't like the way that this is right now. I don't like the way that that looks. I don't like the way that he looks. And I don't like the way that she looks at me. That I am just addicted to negativity. So here's what I want us to be able to wrap our minds around today. Is that our addictions are used to mask our vulnerabilities. And here's what I mean by that. Is that at some point in your life, you had a moment of sadness, a moment of weakness, a moment of hurt or pain or sorrow or whatever it might be. You might have failed at something. You might have had someone say something horrible to you. And now you are using your addiction to cover that up. But that's not the only way that we mask our vulnerabilities. See, for some of us, it's just about our genetic makeup. And that is our vulnerability. That we are made a certain way and that for whatever reason, I am more likely to be addicted to this or to that than anyone else is. And then maybe you're like me, and here's your vulnerability, is that you make bad choices. And you just make a bad decision after bad decision. Or you make that one bad decision that just explodes and grows into a giant. So I hope you're at 1 Samuel chapter 17. But if you're not there yet, here's while you're getting there, I just want to set the scene for you, right? And so remember, Goliath is on set right now. He is there. And so everyone is worried. How are we going to beat this giant? How are we going to take him down? And so King Saul says, anyone that can beat this guy, I will give you my daughter as your wife, and you won't have to pay taxes the rest of your life. Now, back up into your younger days for some of you guys that are girls that are married, right? And think about what giants would you face if you didn't have to pay taxes the rest of your life and you were married? See, it's a lot easier to face a giant when you know that the reward is great. And that's why I want to point that out, because when you defeat the giant of addiction, the reward is great because you will experience freedom, just like you heard Mike say earlier. So this is where we're picking up. And so David says, hey, I'll do it. And so he goes and he starts talking with King Saul and he says, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go fight him. And King Saul says, David, don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. Now, I want to stop right there. And this highlighted part, you're only a boy. All right, this is like my passion. I hope that you never say that to a young person. I hope that, those words never come out of our church's mouth. Because to put someone in a box of their vulnerability is ridiculous. And you guys might say, oh no, we'd never be a church that does that. We value the next generation. I am sorry, I hear that way too often. That, hey, he's only 16 years old, she's only 19 years old, they're only kids, they don't understand any better. They are, and that is their vulnerability. But instead of just putting them in that box, instead of trapping them into that, why don't you coach them out of that? Because see, here's what happens. Saul says, you're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. So Saul says, hey, you're only in your youth, and he's been a man of war since his youth. Well, when do you think that Goliath possibly started becoming a man of war? At the same age, or a similar age, to when David is at right now in his life. He had to start somewhere. And so, yes, David, you are a shepherd. David, yes, you are a teenager. And yes, Goliath is a man, and he's grown, and he's a giant, and he's a warrior. But it doesn't mean that we have to limit ourselves just because of our age. It doesn't mean that we have to limit young people because they're young. Let's coach them to that next step. So David says back to Saul, he says, yeah, I am just a boy. He says, I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. And when a lion or a bear comes to steal the lamb from the flock. I go after it with a club, and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the mouth, by the jaw, and I club it to death. All right? Now, just a few days ago, my wife and I, we were with some friends, and we saw this lady, and she got scared by a spider. And all her friends are, like, pushing her into this spider and everything like this. And my wife says to me, well, to our, like, everyone that's around, she said, oh, I totally get it. She said, I would fight a bear before I fought that spider. And I've been getting ready for this, and I'm just thinking in my mind, I was like, I don't believe you. Because I think if a bear came into this room or a lion came into this room, you know where you all be? Out that door as soon as you possibly could be. And you might say, well, you know what? But he was rescuing the sheep. Big deal. Who cares about a sheep? And like, think about this. That it, let's substitute, because you guys don't own sheep, right? But let's say that your cat Mittens is in the mouth of a lion, and a lion comes in here. Who here is saying, "Hey, give me a club. I gotta go like rescue that cat. I gotta rescue Mittens, and I gotta club this lion to death." No, you don't care about Mittens anymore. Mittens is gone. And so, I love this because this just shows how brave David is, that David is just absolutely courageous. And he says, I have done this to both lions and bears. Not a lion and a bear, to lions and bears. And he says, and I'll do it again to this Philistine, for he has defied the armies of the living God. He has defied the living God. See, this is what happens when we let the giant of addiction come into our life. We are defying God. We are going right out against God. We are going toe to toe to God, with God. Because what happens when we let an addiction come into our life, when we defy God, what we are doing is saying, hey, whatever this is, this person, this whatever, this pattern, this habit, whatever it is, it has more of a hold on my life than you do, God. That this person that I'm addicted to, I will wake up at any time to find out what they're doing, that I will watch every time they're on TV, that I will listen to every quote that they say, that I will read everything I possibly can about them. But God, I'll try and fit you in when I get a chance. I'll try and do a little bit better about actually trying to, you know, I'm not really a morning person, so I don't know how I can possibly fit you in. See, your addiction has more of a hold on your life than God does. And that's a problem. It's the same thing with the things that God has put into your life to bless you. That your addiction has more of a hold on your life than the blessings that God has given you. What do I mean by that? I mean, maybe your addiction to caffeine, that you're saying, hey, I can't afford things in my house because I'm so worried about caffeine that, yeah, you know what, my kids do need new clothes. They do need better things. They do need to be able to go to this place or this place, but we can't afford it. But meanwhile, you are stopping and getting your coffee every single morning. That's an addiction, and you are letting that have a hold on your life more than the blessings that God has given you. You are defying the living God. Your addiction is defying the living God. But this is where it gets awesome. Because, see, up to this point, Saul points out David's vulnerability. He says, hey, you're just a boy, you're just a shepherd. And what we hear from David, David never once says, no, you're wrong, I'm a man, I'm grown up, like, I got dirt on my face, look at my facial hair, look at my chest hair. He never says any of that. He says, yeah, you're right, I'm just a boy, I watch my dad's sheep and his goats. He never once tries to pretend that he's something he's not. What he does say is that, yeah, I am a boy. I'm tough, though. I'll give it everything I have. But then here's what he says in verse 37. This is what I love. He says, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this giant. The Lord who rescued me will rescue me. Now, here's what I want you to think. Let's be realistic. We're in a church, so there's a lot of you in this room that are Christ followers. And at one point in your life, you hit a point where you just felt like you couldn't go without God in your life any farther. That you might have even hit rock bottom and you said, this is it, God. You need to help me because I can't go another step. That I couldn't possibly go on in life without you. And this is why we say, God, save me. But this is the great part of this, is that that's not a one-time thing. The Lord who rescued me will rescue me. And this is exactly what David notices here. He says, God, you did rescue me, but I know that you are going to continue to rescue me. And so it says, Saul finally consented. And he said, all right, go ahead. And may the Lord be with you. And it says, then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. That's an honor. It says, David put it on, and he strapped the sword over it, and it took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things. Now, here's what I want you to catch here, is that David says with confidence that the Lord who rescued me will rescue me. And Saul says he consents. He says, all right, go ahead. And he says, may the Lord be with you. See, David knew that God was going to be with him. Saul hoped that God was going to be with him. And so when David recognized his vulnerability, when David recognized his weakness, when David understood that he was just a boy, he responded by putting his trust in God. When Saul, from his perspective, saw David's vulnerability, when he saw that David was just a boy, when he saw that David wasn't a warrior like Goliath, he responded by putting his hope in a coat of armor. See, Saul tried to mask David's vulnerability. He tried to cover it up. And so David says, I can't go in these. I'm not used to them. That's like when you're a kid and your mom puts all the layers on for you in wintertime before you go out in the snow and you can't move your arms or your legs. That's exactly what David felt like. And he says, so David took them off again. And he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, and he put them into his bag. Then, armed with only a staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. And I think we all know what happens from here. That God had victory over the giant. So this is what I want you to take away today. That if you are going to defeat the giant of addiction, then you have to embrace your vulnerability. This is what I mean. That if you are going to go and battle addiction in your life, you have to get to the point to realize that you have vulnerabilities, that you have weaknesses. That I heard someone say it like this recently, that it's okay to not be okay. You have to recognize that you are not able, but that the Lord who rescued me will rescue me. That God is able. The Apostle Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians. He says, here's the situation where he's at, is that he's talking about some of the struggles that he's in, some of the suffering he's in, some of the pain that he's experienced. And he's saying, hey, I begged God to help me here. I begged God to come into my life. And here's what God said back to me. He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. See, this is exactly what David did. He knew his weakness, and he let God work through it. And he did it because he knew that if people saw victory over the giant, that credit would go to God. David made a declaration when he said, the Lord who rescued me will rescue me. And he knew as soon as that giant fell, that people would see that it was God that did it and not David. But do you understand the power of God? See, in Mark chapter 12, here's what happens. In Mark chapter 12, there's these guys, and they're coming to Jesus, and they're asking him this really crazy story and this weird scenario and everything like that. And Jesus did what Jesus always did, and he didn't answer the question directly, but he answered the root of the question. And so what Jesus said, he said, here's your problem. Here's your mistake. That you don't understand the scripture, and that you don't understand my power. Do you really understand the power of God? Do you understand the power of Jesus in your life? Because if you do, then you will surrender to Jesus. You will let Him take charge of your life. You will let Him fight the giant for you. Think of what that's like. What would it be like to actually... Because here's what I know. I know that some of you are saying, listen, you don't get my addiction. You don't understand where I'm at. You don't understand that I've tried this time and time again. I understand that you've tried time and time again. Have you let God try it even once? Have you ever, we talk a lot about getting on your hands and knees. Have you actually ever done that? Do you understand the power that exists if you get on your knees and pray before God, that you humble yourself and you put yourself right before Him and say, God, I can never do this. But I know that you can do this. God, you are the God that rescued me and you will rescue me. Do you understand the power that's there when you understand God's power and when you give it back to Him? That's when God will rescue you. Please don't fall into the trap of just trying to separate ourselves from our addiction. And we say, oh, you know what? I'm just going to put it over there for a little bit. I'm just going to scoot over here and I'm going to be over here. And hopefully I can make it 2 or 3 days without it. And then that will start something and that will make it better. And then I'll grow that. That won't work. You need to surrender to God. You need to be able to give Him your life and just say, God, I am not able, but you are able. So I have some practical next steps for you to take home today. The first is here's what I want you to do, is to take some time this week, figure out what your vulnerability is. What is it in your life that's a weakness, that's a struggle? What is it? What is the pain, the past experience in your life? What did someone do to you? Figure out what that is, and then figure out what you are masking that with. And here's what I want you to do, is to embrace that vulnerability. And I want you to do that by sharing that with someone else, someone that you trust, someone that you care about, someone that cares about you, and to just say, hey, this is who I am. I'm figuring out that it's okay to not be okay. And will you just help me? And will you be praying for me? And will you help me bring this to God? And to understand that God will defeat this giant in my life. Next, here's something I want to offer you. I know we did talk about the big three, right? We talked about drugs, alcohol, and sex or pornography, but we kind of left it there. But here's something I want to offer you, is that next week, Christian Hill Community Church in West Warwick is offering a proactive seminar on sex and pornography addiction. And so if that's something that either you struggle with, or here's what I'm really hoping, is that maybe you know someone that is struggling in that way. And that you can take this step and just learn some more about it so that way you can help them out. So that way you can be a person there that is going through their battle with them. So that you can help them defeat their giant. And they're doing this through the Ministry Training Network. But here's what I want. The reason I'm bringing this up is because pornography and sexual addiction is a giant. And here's something I want you to know. You have 40 million American adults. Not teenagers, not students, not kids, 40 million adults regularly view pornography. That means that it's a habit. That means it's a pattern in their life. That means that it's something that continues and continues and continues. 40 million. And that's not just men. There's women too. And so I would encourage you to take this step. To come alongside someone, to be there in that battle with them as they try and defeat their giant. Would you go and just get the education that you can to help them as they're fighting what might seem like a hopeless battle to them? I do want to tell you that there is a cost involved in this, but I think that the cost would be well worth your investment. And lastly, some of you don't even have a relationship with God. And so you're not able to turn to God like David is and know that God will fight your battle for you. And so I'm asking you today, this morning, will you invite God into your life? Will you let Him rescue you for the very first time? Because there are giants in your life. And maybe those giants are creeping back into your life. Maybe you've put them down for a little bit, but now they're coming back up. Will you invite God into your life to let Him fight that giant, to let Him defeat that giant? And that way, you can go on in your life and you can confidently say, the Lord who rescued me will rescue me. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for how you rescued me. But more importantly, God, I thank you for how even though you rescued me that one time, you keep on rescuing me. every time I need it. God, I thank you that you are a God that is here for each and every one of us, that there's not a single addiction in this room that you don't know about, that is too big for you, that is too much for you to handle, that you can take it all on. So God, I'm asking you in this room right now, will you defeat the giants that are in this church? Will you defeat the giants that are holding us back as a group, as a church, as a family, as a community? God, we will give you all the credit. We will point it all back to you because we want your name to be known. We want our state to be changed, and we want to be changed by you and for you. So God, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus.